God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our gospel reading, even though it takes place before Jesus' death and resurrection, and even though we are in this Easter time, is from John chapter 17 as Jesus is praying for people. He is doing the praying. So very often this chapter of John is called the high priestly prayer of Jesus. And it may surprise you why Jesus is praying. The title of this message is, Who is Doing the Praying? So when it comes to your own prayer life, how would you best describe it? Would you describe your prayer life as something very active, something that gives you strength, something that's always there, something that's focusing you toward other people? Or would you describe your prayer life more absent, maybe more hit or miss? Maybe you might be thinking you do not have the perfect prayer life. You get distracted by the things of this world, and you know that you probably should be doing a little bit better in your praying, especially for other people, and being maybe a little less concerned for oneself. But in sort of answering the question, do you have the perfect prayer life? Let me answer that question. The answer is yes. Even though at times we may not be the quote-unquote best prayer, but we have to ask, by what are we judging ourselves by? Picking up from God's word from the book of Romans, chapter 8, Paul writes, he says, Likewise the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. You see, we need to remember that while, yes, we may physically fold our hands, bow our heads, and close our eyes, and say a word of prayer, maybe more prone to it at time before we go to bed and at meal times, the Spirit within us is doing that constant prayer. This is important with the whole main concept of today's message from Jesus' high priestly prayer. Who is doing the praying? The answer is Jesus is doing the praying. And he's doing that praying on your behalf for you. You see, Jesus is the one who does the work. Sure, Jesus invites us to come to him with prayers and petitions, and we do. But compared to the ongoing praying that Jesus does for us, and that the Spirit does for us in words that we don't necessarily know of, our praying is sort of like a drop in the bucket. It may seem like we are barely praying at all. Besides, we also need to come to the realization that if Christ was not with us, if Christ was not in us, we could never really pray at all. In our text for today, Jesus has a purpose to his prayer. Okay, it's actually a little outside of our text, a few verses later, in verse 24, where he says, Where I am, they also might be with me, refers to that relationship. Jesus is praying again to get reconnected to humanity that was lost because of sin. Remind ourselves that the death of Jesus had not yet taken place. Yes, Jesus wants all people to be saved, all people to be connected to him, all people to have life. Now, please keep in mind that very often when we start thinking about our relationship with Christ, we immediately want to go up to heaven. Fair enough, on Thursday we celebrated the ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and heaven is not necessarily a bad place, it is a good place. And compared to all the trials and turmoils of this world, yes, amen, heaven is a nice and wonderful place. But please note that in our text, Jesus doesn't sit there and say, Oh, by the way, Lord, take all the believers right now and let's just do a giant rapture so that everyone gets to heaven now. To spare them out of the turmoil and sin of this world, no. Jesus prays for something different. It's not that you immediately are with Christ in heaven above, but that you are immediately with Christ here and now. Jesus' prayer is a prayer for us to be connected to him here and now. Now, Now, that may not seem kind of fair. We might be sitting there thinking, the joys of heaven await us. Why do we have to have patience and wait for God's time? Well, our text and the whole concept of why Jesus is doing the praying gives us an insight. You see, this is important. As Christ is praying for us who live in this world, he wants us to be for this world, but not part of this world. Let me explain it this way. Note that Jesus did not pray to take the believers out of the sinful world and to spare them, but instead, Jesus prays for us to live in this world and to be protected from the evil one. Jesus does not ask the Heavenly Father to remove us from this quote-unquote sinful society seeking some sort of Christian utopia. Jesus actually prays us into the world. And that would be a way of better describing that as toward the world. And the reason why I'm putting the emphasis this way is that so that we get the concept that Jesus sends us to planet Earth. This is our doing his ministry here and now. There are sinners like you and me and other sinners who need to have the grace of God proclaimed to them. And God works through each and every one of us. And besides, there's something that Jesus would want us to avoid. Have you ever run across people, Christians, or people who say that they are Christians, who speak this way? Maybe they are so heavenly minded that they are no earthly good. What do I mean by that? Their goal is so much that they're only concerned about them getting to heaven. They really don't care about the people around them or the people suffering or the people who need to hear that good news of the proclamation of Jesus' death and resurrection. They're so concerned with, I know I'm saved, thanks be to God. Who cares about anyone else? Jesus wants us to avoid that. That's why he doesn't just sit there and lift us up out of this world as soon as we are baptized. No, he wants us in this world. He does offer his prayer for us for protection from the evil one, because there certainly is indeed an evil one. He does not want us to be alone. He sends his Holy Spirit to be with us, and he himself prays for us. Three times Jesus asks the Father to keep and to protect us. But now here comes the rub. Yes, Christ is praying for us. He sends us his Holy Spirit. Fair enough. But now begs another question. Do we really want to be kept or guarded by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Let me put it this way. I've seen a handful of toddlers who did not want to be kept in a car seat. I've even seen a number of adults who rebel about protective coverings over their heads when they're riding motorcycles, or even better yet, even though it is the law, what about seatbelts? I know we're getting better at that, but there are many adults who still say that this is a little too restrictive for me, even though this is for their own good. Even though such actions are for their own safety, they don't like it. They scream out against such protective measures. And could our own rebellion against Christ's protection, even though it's for our own good, be as a result of our original sin? And the answer is yes. We don't want to be kept. We don't want to be guarded, even if it's for our own good. Now, I won't even begin to list how many aspects of teenagers fit into this category. My sermon would go on for days and days. There's almost that certain rebellion that comes in within each and every one of us when we reach those teenage years. Those times in our lives where we just want to push against mom and dad, even though they are trying to do this to protect us and to keep us safe, we think, because we all went through those teen years, that we know it all, that we can handle it, we're on our own. Just remember that God says, even in the midst of our great rebellion, He's still praying with us, praying for us. He's praying for us to be kept in His name, causing that relationship of the Holy Spirit to be with us. And during His stay on earth, Jesus kept His followers in this state. But as I mentioned on Thursday, we celebrated Ascension. He is now leaving. So He asks His Heavenly Father to continue that relationship through the Holy Spirit. Just remember, God is praying for us, so you are in good hands with Almighty. Now, being kept from the evil one, because this is also a very important part of our text, we have to remember there is an evil one. And if we can remember for a moment back to those younger years when we were teenagers, and considering the amount of trouble we got into, how much worse might it be if God were not keeping us from the evil one? Yes, we need the prayers of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, there's another certain aspect of our text that needs to sort of be covered here. And it has to do with what does it mean to be sanctified in the truth? Well, when we start working with words like sanctification, it sort of means like making something holy. And fair enough, we do have holy things. We have communionware, which we'll be celebrating the Lord's Supper with. And typically on Sunday, we put out the flagon, which holds the extra wine. Would we ever think about, after this divine service, of taking that flagon, cleaning it out, and bringing it downstairs to hold coffee? Probably not. It is something for this particular service, and only dedicated for service to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Fair enough, so also are you. Jesus is praying for you to be sanctified, to be that holy person. But a holy person just looks like a normal person. In theory, we could take that flagon. It holds wine. It could hold also coffee or water. But we do not. But as far as our sanctification, a holy person looks like a normal person. He or she is separated from the normal people of the world, the people who are of the world, not just living in the world, for special religious activities. Holy things and people were the same as normal things and people, but with this little bit of a difference. Jesus indicates that we do not belong to the world. We are not like the people who belong to the world. We are different. The people of the world will hate us. And here's the reason why. It's not, and please let me emphasize this even more, it is not because we have superior moral lives. That's a trap of the devil. This is not the primary reason of what it means to be made holy or to be sanctified. In addition, it was, strangely enough, those people who thought that they had superior moral lives or were superior people morally, the Pharisees, that Jesus had the most problem with. They had a hard time with claiming, with understanding Jesus being the Son of God. Holiness, our sanctification, comes about through the relationship that God gives to us. We receive this holiness as a gift. It's not because anything you do. It is what God does for you. And this is where the world comes in with why the world hates us. Think of it in terms of sanctification. God is the actor. Jesus prays that God would sanctify us. And it is completely a gift from God. It is not something we do for ourselves. It comes from God. However, people living in the world, who are of the world, I should say, don't have this gift. Naturally, they're going to want this gift. And they may be angry because we have this gift. Fair enough. Now, what do? We share this gift. We tell them about the good news. It's not like God is withholding the gift from them, but using us as tools and instruments to share this gift. And what is this gift of holiness all about? Two parts. One, we recognize and admit our sinfulness. We don't need to cover up. We don't need to lie. We don't need to rationalize our mistakes. We already know that we're not God, and we do not have to pretend for any moment that we are perfect. We can truly confess and saying, you're right, I made a mistake, I screwed up. Second point is we need to realize and recognize and accept the fact that God has forgiven all our sins. We don't want to wallow in any mistakes. No self-pity parties here. We need to live in the freedom of forgiveness. And out of that freedom, we can respond with praise and thanks and love toward God. And with the love and forgiveness toward other people. We have this freedom. I know it sounds kind of weird, but it's different than people who are of the world. And so we invite them. We share this gift. We tell them this freedom we have. And again, we're very careful to say we are not morally superior people. We are sinners, just like you. We are sinners, sinners in need of what Christ has done. You see, we realize that Christ, Jesus, is the one doing the sanctification. He's the one who's praying for it. And he himself, as our text concludes, he first consecrated himself. He was the one appointed to go to the cross. He was the one to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. He was the one to make us holy by taking on our sinfulness and paying God's price. And that sanctification continues through God's word and through his sacraments. We need to come to hear God's word of forgiveness, to be fed God's holy word, to be freed to love and free to forgive others. Christ even sends his Holy Spirit, but more about that next week when we celebrate Pentecost. So Christ is praying for us. He makes us holy. He gives us this faith. Christ is doing the work. So this day we do not want the trials of this world or its tribulations or its troubles to overcome us. Because there are many concerns in this world. Luther described this world as a veil of tears. And fair enough, our hearts do get sorrowful. Our tears do come out. But Jesus reminds us, do not fear, because he is praying for you. He is praying for you for protection from the evil one that cannot take Christ away from you. The evil one that cannot stop Christ praying for you. The evil one that cannot stop Christ's gift of himself for you. So this day we celebrate that Christ continues to pray for you. He has delivered you from sin, death, and the devil. He is strengthening you through his word and sacrament. And he will always be with you. Even though we celebrated his ascension, remember he is true man and true God. Always with you and always praying for you. Yes, who is doing the praying? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is doing the praying. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.